from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Rachel Miro, sitting in for Dave Iverson. It's no secret Treasure Island has a radioactive history. It's where the Navy trained its men and women to handle nuclear warfare, at least as it was understood in the early days after World War II. The Navy, the city of San Francisco, and real estate developers have gone to great pains to put that past behind the island and sell it as an attractive place to live. But evidence keeps popping up in the dirt that the cleanup wasn't complete. And the Center for Investigative Reporting reports the residents of Treasure Island aren't getting the straight answers they seek about their health and safety. Joining us now, we have two reporters who've been on the story. Catherine Mizkowski, a senior reporter with the Center for Investigative Reporting. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
And of course, Matt Smith, also on the story. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Well, Catherine Mizkowski, is anybody really surprised that there are still radioactive hotspots on Treasure Island?
I think so, because these problems were first identified in about 2007. Up until that point, the Navy had really maintained that this was a chemical waste cleanup, that radiological problems were really just non-existent or just not a big deal. And they sent a crew out to the island, you know, just to check out and make sure. And those people started finding problems before they even got out of their truck. And since then, there have been hundreds of these radioactive shards. They're like about the size of a coin, octagonal. Some of them are quite degraded, found in areas where people are currently living. And I think that's what's really shocked the workers that do this kind of cleanup work, is that, you know, they've been surveying and they're in people's yards. They're going right up to their front door. They're finding things under sidewalks, playgrounds. And that's very unusual in this kind of cleanup of a base.
Matt Smith, you know, the Navy, and for that matter, the Armed Forces, doesn't have the cleanest history, so to speak, in other parts of the country where they've been cleaning up military bases. Why would anybody take the military's word for it?
Well, they're the agency that's the Navy's the agency that's responsible for cleaning it up. It's their property, and the base conversion that started in the 90s has been handed to the military. So the first thing they're responsible for doing is sort of come clean with their history at a site where there's been issues of Cold War, nuclear warfare preparation or what have you. As you said, there's sites like that all over the country, all over the world to some degree. In San Francisco, historically, we knew Treasure Island as sort of this way station where sailors would prepare to ship out to the Pacific Theater, basketball courts, tennis courts, movie theaters. What wasn't part of the public face but was a very significant part of the operations was nuclear warfare schools, which meant prepare for the kind of fallout that you get covering a ship after a big bomb blast. And so you had training with plutonium, cesium, cobalt, all these highly radioactive materials that we now know to be, and then knew to be, very dangerous and potentially cancerous if there's exposure.
So it's easy to say, Catherine Mizkowski, you know, that the military was naive or willfully irresponsible back in the day. But why in the world would city officials say, sure, let's put a housing development on here and maybe move people in while we're cleaning the place up?
Well, I think that the Navy hadn't been totally forthright about the history of the island at the point when residents were moved in the 90s. It looked like a good idea to a lot of people. San Francisco had this housing shortage. Here were these townhouses. We could put low-income people, especially families, into these townhouses. And it wasn't until years later that this radiological history started to come out. And by that point, people had already been living on the island for years. And so I think, you know, what's been a problem since then is that as workers have found more problems, the Navy has not been eager to do a thorough scan of the entire island to find out what's there. And that's what the cleanup workers were pushing for. That's what, you know, people at the state health department have been pushing for, and residents. And instead, what's kind of happened is this incremental thing where the workers would find a problem, and then the Navy would say, oh, actually, you're right. You know, this is the history that explains why that might be there. And but they would not do, you know, a sweeping examination of the whole place.
Matt Smith, the Bay Area is home to some of the toughest environmentalists on the planet. These are people who do not take anybody's word for anything, who follow up, who, you know, collect data and report on it. How is it that right here in the heart of San Francisco Bay, we have a situation where public health officials didn't go to the public and say, we're very uncomfortable with what's happening here?
Until we started writing about it a couple of years ago, it wasn't a public issue. The radioactive waste issue on Treasure Island was an afterthought and not acknowledged by the Navy as a significant issue. That's all very recent, and there has been furor on the part of residents. I mean, that was kind of the nut of our story that's just appeared in the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, is the Navy has not been transparent, public, and in the view of the very agencies that regulates radioactive waste in California, simply not straight with them about what was there or could be there or what should be done to make sure we know what's there.
I should mention we invited the State Health Department, the Treasure Island Redevelopment Authority, and the U.S. Navy, which is doing work for the city of San Francisco, to join us on this forum program, but they declined. Catherine Miskowski, there are, 2,000 people living there now?
Yeah, that's on both Yerba Buena Island and Treasure Island.
And so what are people who are living on the island doing now to stay abreast of what's happening?
Well, I mean, I think they're reading news reports. They go to these meetings that the various agencies you just described put on to mostly, you know, the point of these meetings appears to be to calm people's fears. But when you talk to residents, you often hear that they feel betrayed. They feel they were lied to. Why were they allowed to move in here? And then they have a lot of fear that a whole constellation of health problems that they might have, you know, may or may not be related to this radioactive waste. And about 50 residents sought counsel from a lawyer. They were considering bringing a lawsuit related to this, but then the case ultimately was dropped for lack of evidence. It's very, very difficult to prove that any specific health problem is linked to any one, you know, environmental contamination, especially when you're dealing with a small population. So
we're talking about Treasure Island, radiation, and straight talk or lack thereof about whether it's safe to live there. Do you live there? Have you worked there? What questions do you want these reporters from the Center for Investigative Reporting to answer? Call us at 866-733-6786. You can also email us at forum@kqed.org. You can go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and add your comments and questions there, or seek us out on Twitter. KQED Forum is the hashtag. Doug writes, I work for an environmental cleanup company in the 1990s, and it was broadly known there that the island had radioactive waste. The military was aware, had been notified, and the company was not able to do such cleanup. The Navy just reburied everything. Is that a fair assessment, Catherine Miskowski?
I definitely think the reburying phrase is very apt. I mean, when this radioactive contamination, you know, was being outed by these cleanup workers, they just continued to treat it as a chemical waste site. And, I mean, that's one of the issues that the health department raised, was that, you know, thousands of tons of dirt had been trucked off this island that now, you know, and disposed of as if it was chemical waste. And if it was radioactive, then they would have disposed of it differently. Residents served as whistleblowers, too. They would, you know, complain that, you know, these trucks wouldn't even be covered sometimes. And it's a very windy island, obviously, so that dust was getting blown around. So state health department workers had concerns that, you know, the contamination was there when the remediation was taking place, that it could be spreading stuff all over the place.
We have with us on the phone now Jan Bie, a nuclear physicist and chief scientist consulting in the public interest in New Jersey. He's a co-author of papers on environmental epidemiology, including a study of the Three Mile Island accident. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So from what you've read of the situation at Treasure Island, what's your assessment of whether people should be living there?
Well, I don't think it's a question of whether they should be living there. I do think it's a question of maintaining public trust. And doing that is a challenge, particularly about radiation. The measurements, for instance, that the CIR reported by themselves, the cesium measurements are not a concern. You could find those all over the country. However, they were found sort of a mini hotspot. They were found 30 meters from a place where hot radio cesium sources were used. There's indications that those sources weren't handled properly. So there are children who may be there. So the question is, to maintain public trust, you really need to see if this is not a sign that there might be some misuse. Normally you would expect to find contamination in a dump, recycling of the material. But to me, I wouldn't get upset about these kind of measurements, but due diligence requires me to protect my children, grandchildren, that further analysis be done.
Who would you want to do that further analysis so that you would have trust in its credibility?
Well, I think the choice should be a cooperation between the community and between public officials. I don't think either can do a good job, and there are examples of. I mean, the public is very responsible when they're brought in to plan and do studies. So that would be my recommendation, that there be a citizens committee that be part of choosing who would do the measurements. And that they would have some authority in making sure that they trusted the measurements that were made.
Let's go now to the phones. Chan in San Francisco.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. I called because I'm currently a resident on Yerba Buena Island. I'm also, I'm currently involved in the blocking of the EIR. There's a lot of problems and maladies with the EIR. They go well beyond just the contamination issues, if you can believe that anything goes beyond those. But
yeah.
I see this as really kind of like a, what I've seen, my experience has been between the city board and then the politicians, the developers, TIDA, and the community. There's a community development board that everything has had to go through. It includes like one or two Treasure Island residents. But I think, as far as the reporting of this, what I would like to see more of is coverage of what the systematic problems are and the tensions and dynamics are between the politicians, developers, and this enormously valuable, on the face of it, asset out in the middle of the bay, and really what these people are trying to get after, which I think, at the end of the day is money and power.
But money and power,
I'd like to hear that story. That's a story that I'd really like to hear more on.
Is that story coming from the Center for Investigative Reporting?
I can't make any promises, but I think the caller really makes an excellent point that there's a huge amount of money at stake. I mean, the city wants to build an 8,000-unit high-rise sort of second downtown on Treasure Island. And so, the vested interests here are very great.
Matt Smith, what's your sense of where people can go now if they want to know what's happening in a comprehensive kind of way?
Well, that's been kind of what enraged residents that we saw at meetings, because the Navy has been putting out newsletters about the cleanup with a very positive spin, and sort of the first place that they read about the outrage that people within the Department of Public Health were experiencing about mishandling of the cleanup was in our articles. They have a hotline now, Health Department hotline. The Department of Toxic Substance Control is another agency that's overseeing that, so you can call the relevant agencies, read the story in the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, and attend. They have meetings every month of a Citizens Oversight Committee on Treasure Island. As far as getting straight answers from the anointed bodies, that's kind of been residents' frustration and the theme of our reporting.
Whether you live on Treasure Island or Yerba Buena or live elsewhere in the Bay Area, you can find a link to the investigative piece we're talking about on our website, kqed.org/forum. Let's go now to Catherine Lundgren on Treasure Island.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. So tell me about your family's health.
Well, I don't think that we have quite enough time to go through that extensively. However,
right, the elevator pitch, yes.
Yeah, basically, each member of my family has had serious health concerns. Those, you know, I am not saying that it is specifically or directly linked to the situation that we're dealing with, the contamination, but, you know, it certainly can't help it. If somebody has a pre-existing condition, the exposure to any of the chemicals or radioactive materials, which there's 14 radionuclides that have been identified here, not just radium, cesium, thorium. There's quite a few, and we don't know where those are. And that's the bottom line. Is if it's and in fact, they just dug up a disc in front of my home that they swore my children could never have come in contact with. My children have dug up small treasures around the island. So, you know, it's more a matter of statements that they make. There isn't trust because of their statements. They've made plans. They have objectives to reduce inhalation, ingestion, and dermal contact, and which tells me if you have to make an objective, it's currently happening.
So, Catherine, let me give you a multiple choice question here.
Uh-huh.
In a perfect world, would the city pay to move you off the island? Would the cleanup be completed? Your complete satisfaction. What do you want to see happen to address your concerns?
Well, firstly, yes, that is a multiple choice question. I'd like to see them move everybody. It just don't take the risk. There's no mechanisms in place to detect if there ever has been a risk. A lot of people here don't have the choice to just, you know, transplant themselves somewhere else financially or socially, their structures of their homes. I mean, it's not that easy. It seems that easy, but it's not that easy. So, yes, in fact, I would like people out of any harm's way if that's at all even a 1% potential. That is unfair to the people living here to continue to expose them and then tell them that they're safe, meanwhile, you know, producing objectives for themselves during the cleanup method. But we just can't live here while they're doing it. And I think that that's a fair enough request from the city and the health officials, the state and the federal government to do that.
Well, so Catherine thinks it's a fair enough request. Get us out of here.
Yeah.
Catherine Miskowski, is anybody talking about that on an official level?
We have not heard any, official account that everybody's going to be moved off the island for their own safety. Now, there have been individual cases where they've moved people out of specific residents and said that, you know, was related to the chemical cleanup. But we have not seen any evidence that they're going to move the entire population at any time soon.
In fact, there's talk about building more housing on the island, although those plans have been put on hold.
Or they've been significantly delayed.
Significantly delayed. What's your sense, Matt Smith? Do you think that that's kind of where this conversation is headed? The habitability of the island altogether?
So Treasure Island is a beautiful place to build exactly what they want to build. And at the time when the Navy was really downplaying in the early 90s or not really even fully acknowledging the toxic issues, a great place for low-income housing. It's a beautiful place. There were places to live. Just the question is, and I think our experts can attest, there are proper ways to make sure a site where you know there was a history of radioactive material safe. And that means an early acknowledgement and thorough study of what happened in the first place historically. It was, you know, a core of all kinds of Cold War facilities relating to atomic preparedness. So you study Then you survey, and then you safely clean it up. At each stage of that process,
it's something that's been done before.
There were total breakdowns.
It could be done again.
Yeah.
Actual cleanup. Mm-hmm. Mike writes, my partner lived on Treasure Island for 8.5 years until 2011. I lived there for 1 year. My partner is a scientifically minded person and now in medical school. She was told during her entire time on the island that small buttons were found with a tiny amount of radioactivity, but they were harmless to human health. Many flyers and meeting announcements were sent out to residents. Matt Smith, you're talking about these, leading residents to believe they were safe. If there were known dangerous amounts of radioactivity, there needs to be an investigation into whether there was an active cover-up campaign. Catherine Miskowski, any sense that there's a watchdog agency, perhaps somebody on the federal level who might step in and take a closer look at what's happening here?
I mean, that's an interesting possibility. Up until this point, it's really been the California Department of Public Health and their radiological team that has been holding the Navy's feet to the fire. And I think Matt can speak to there have been some amazing instances where, you know, they've tried to, you know, go in and check things out and really been rebuffed.
Let's get another call in here. Kate from Santa Rosa.
Hi. Okay. So a couple of questions. First of all, it sounds like we've identified vectors of these pieces of metal that are turning up, but also the Navy or whomever were able to detect signs of radiation while still in their trucks. So that sounds airborne as well. I guess I'm wondering, do residents get their water from groundwater? Are there issues about leakage into the bay itself?
Very good questions.
In radiation? Thank you. I'll take my
who wants it? Matt, do you want to take that?
There are no groundwater issues because it's bay fill. They're on the bay, and the water comes from elsewhere. There are issues, though, as you mentioned, of what's underground at that water level, and the testing hasn't been really thorough at that level of depth. But it is a great question. You know, where the bay meets the sludge, what kind of toxins and radioactive waste exists. The caller had a great question.
It sounds like you guys have your work cut out for you. I'm guessing at least 5 stories from here on out. Let's go now to James in Nevada City.
Hi. I was stationed at Hunters Point Naval Shipyard when I was in the Navy, and I've seen how they tend to handle these issues of radioactive or chemical waste. They cover it up. They cover it up and forget about it and hope that you forget about it. I have a friend sent me an internal memo from the Navy instructing their people to make plenty of verbal statements regarding the safety and the history of Treasure Island, but to do not put anything in writing. So you have to watch these people. They're very sneaky. It's definitely a cover-up that goes back decades. The whole story of nuclear is all about weapons, and let the chips fall where they may with their attitude about all this. So I wouldn't trust anything the Navy says, and if anything they put in writing, I would be very, look at that very carefully, because they're going to try to worm out of this any way they can.
Thank you so much, James. Catherine Miskowski, you know, this raises another question. Before the housing development on Treasure Island, there were men and women who worked for the military who were stationed there for long periods of time, along with their children. Are they in contact with each other about their health concerns following that time?
Some residents on Treasure Island had raised this issue. If there's not enough people on the island to study now, I mean, couldn't you look at the health history of all the former military personnel stationed there? But to our knowledge, that no one has actually attempted to do that.
And that's your understanding as well, Matt?
Right. Also, I think the caller's sort of represents a consistent kind of reaction to what was going on there. He was a military person stationed there, seeing what was going on at Hunter's Point from the inside. the genesis of our story was radiation cleanup workers who were outraged at what they saw as lack of transparency and lack of competency in the cleanup. We subsequently found that radiation specialists with the Department of Public Health were outraged at what they saw as lack of transparency and inadequate professionalism in the cleanup. And so one more voice to this idea from the inside that they are not being acting in good faith to make sure this is clean and safe.
At one point, two workers from the state health department went out to the island and they saw that a gate was open to one of these cleanup sites and that anyone could walk in. And then they complained about it to the Navy. And the Navy's reaction was great umbrage. You know, what are you doing inspecting without notifying us first? You know, they didn't want to race to fix the problem. Instead, they said, you absolutely cannot do unannounced inspections of our island. What do you think you're doing?
John in San Francisco, thank you for joining us.
Good morning. I think it's general knowledge that radiation is a serious, serious health hazard. And I have trouble wrapping my mind around why anyone, most certainly including government officials like the Navy Department, would try to hide this problem from the city or from the citizens of California and San Francisco. Were they doing something illegal on the island, or what exactly is their motivation in hiding this problem?
I think they have a basic conflict of interest. They're responsible, the Navy is responsible both for identifying the extent of the problem and for paying to clean it up. And it's much cheaper to do a chemical cleanup than it is to do a radiological one. I mean, the standards at which you have to dispose of the material and so on are much different. And so they're in a position where, they only have to clean up what they find, but they're responsible for, you know, saying what's there.
Are there lawsuits pending over this issue?
Yes. Well, there have been lawsuits filed. I haven't checked the latest filings. But as one of the callers mentioned, representatives of two organizations sued to challenge the environmental review. And one of the claims in that suit was that they did not do sufficient analysis to determine that there weren't radiological dangers.
So, Catherine Miskowski, what are you guys working on next? What's your next story on this issue?
Well, the San Francisco Bay Area is site of all sorts of old Cold War nuclear preparedness sites, and so we may be looking at some of the others.
You've got your work cut out for you. Matt Smith, reporter with the Center for Investigative Reporting, lead reporter on this piece about Treasure Island, and Catherine Miskowski, senior reporter with CIR. You can find a link to their report on our website, kqed.org/forum. You've been listening to Forum on KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.